Welcome to the Christian Heritage Church podcast. We're located in Graniteville, South Carolina, near Augusta, Georgia. I'm Pastor Stephen Phillips, and I'm glad you've joined us. We're on a mission to love people to life in Jesus Christ. Our prayer is that this podcast will be used to bring you to life in Christ, renew your faith, and strengthen you on your journey with Him. To learn more about Christian Heritage Church, go to ChristianHeritageChurch.com and discover additional ways that you can partner with us to make a difference. Thanks for listening today and enjoy the podcast.
Mark chapter 16. And it's so wonderful to have you here on Easter Sunday morning. And we are excited for what God is going to do throughout this day in the next service at 9:30 and then at the 11:15 service this morning. God is doing great and marvelous things. And so today we want to look at the resurrection story from Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. And we're going to begin reading in these first eight verses of Mark 16. Mark 16, the first eight verses. And so it'll be here on the screen as well. Let's go ahead. I'm going to read that. You can read along with me. It says, "Now, when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, and Salome bought spices and that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they said among themselves, 'Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us?' But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, 'Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who is crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him as he said to you.'" Verse 8. "And they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid." They were afraid. Today I want to minister this message to you titled, A Rumor of Hope. Rumor of Hope. Rumor of Hope. Here, as it begins in this particular passage telling us about the resurrection, as it begins, obviously, they're coming out of Saturday. In fact, when we look at the very first verse, it says, "And when the Sabbath was past," when the Sabbath was past. In the other accounts of the resurrection, they don't mention the Sabbath when they're talking about this point. But I think it's important when the Sabbath is past, when Saturday has passed, the day when of great of disillusionment and despair and darkness in that day. It was a time when it had to be the worst day of humanity. Even for people who did not have a clue of what was going on, I want to tell you, in light of what we know, this was the worst day, the darkest day in the sense of the Lord Jesus Christ being dead, taking after dying upon the cross. But we see here, it says, after the Sabbath had passed, after it had passed. And then when we get down to verse 8, we see them running with a message to tell everyone that Jesus was no longer in the tomb, that he had risen from the grave, and we see a sense of amazement. We see a sense of excitement. But you say, didn't it say that they were afraid? I don't want you to read there. There is the fear and being afraid like we would think. I want you to think about the fear of God. I want you to think when it says amazed, In the original language, it actually speaks to ecstasy, meaning they were ecstatic at what they had found, and they were amazed, and they were trembling in amazement. They were trembling in the reality that he was not there. And there was no telling what all was going through their minds, but I want you to just see how they came out of a dark day. But by verse 8, we're seeing there's a change that has taken place for all of them. And now they're running in ecstasy, ecstatic, because it's all of this has happened. And so it is that many people live, however, in this world still today in darkness and disillusionment, as though it was still Saturday. Because outside of Christ, it is a dismal time. Outside of Christ, the news is not good. Outside of Christ, it's darkness that prevails outside of Christ. But we see these women who came to the tomb that day, by the time they left with a rumor of hope to a world that was hopeless. There is a rumor of hope, and there is a message of hope. Not a rumor in the sense of something not true, but they were giving forth a rumor, a message. They were spreading the truth, even though it was not realized by everyone else, but they were delivering it to a hopeless world. And yet, even today, we find ourselves again needing to share this glorious gospel, because there is no need for anybody to live in hopelessness. Because Jesus has risen. He has risen indeed. Glory be to the name of God. Glory be to Jesus himself. And so we see them that day. What was it that changed the whole atmosphere for these women as they came to the tomb? Notice this, that they noticed when they got there that the stone had been rolled away. The stone had been rolled away. This was our text tells us that the stone was very heavy. There's estimates that it probably was something that weighed 1,000 pounds, perhaps. It could, and they were wondering as they came to anoint the body of Jesus after his death. They had came with their ointments and they wondered, who's going to roll the stone away? They get there and the stone is already moved. So on one hand, we see there, okay, the stone has been removed. Then we see they looked in and actually went in to that tomb, and there it was that they found that his body was not there. His body was gone, and there was an angel that sit there, and they translation describe a young man that sat there, and he was glistening in apparel. I'm sure of it. It was a sight to behold, and there he began to say, he was an angel. And he began to say, so the words of this angel, the impact of it had really shifted everything that they were experiencing as they approached this tomb where their Savior had been laid down and where Jesus had been buried following his crucifixion. And now this angel has words for them. And his words for them is, you seek Jesus of Nazareth. That's who you seek, but this same Jesus, some translations will say, this same Jesus who you seek, he is not here, he has risen, he says. He has risen. So you seek him, the same Jesus. You didn't come to the wrong tomb today. It's the same Jesus, the Jesus of Nazareth. You didn't show up at the wrong place, but it is Jesus, the Son of God. It is the Savior of the world. It's Jesus of Nazareth, the same Jesus that you saw walk the dusty shores of Galilee, the same Jesus that had healed the blind and caused the lame to walk and the deaf to hear, the same Jesus that raised up Lazarus from the dead, the same Jesus that you saw arrested and you saw him beaten and buffeted and placed upon a cross and killed for the sake of humanity. You, this same Jesus, he is not here. He has risen. He is risen. He is risen. And as the angel furthermore said on that day, he said, in fact, he is gone ahead to Galilee. He's gone ahead of you to Galilee. In fact, he had told them before he ever went to the cross that after his resurrection, he would meet them in Galilee, the place where they had spent much time together in that region. And here he said, he's gone ahead of you to Galilee. So I want you to think about this word. This angel said, he is not here. It's telling us there, this is a physical resurrection. He is not here. A cult sometimes will declare that it's just a spiritual resurrection. It did not happen. And those who try to dissuade and convince others that these things are not true. But I want to tell you, the Word of God declares that he has risen, and it was a physical resurrection. He was fully God, yet fully man, and his humanity, he was risen. He is the first fruits of our own resurrection. He set the pathway for us, and in every way he has risen. But he had went ahead to Galilee. He would meet them there. They'd be able to meet him there. And I noticed there that is a geographical location. He is declaring, I'm going to meet you at a particular place. I can be trusted. You can trust me. I'm going to meet you at a particular place over in Galilee. But the other thing the angel said, he said, now, go tell the disciples, he said to Mary Magdalene and the other ladies there, go tell my disciples and Peter. You see, the last time Peter was on the scene, Peter had denied the Lord three times. Peter had cursed the fact that he did not even know him. He declared, I don't even know him. Struck with fear in the midst of all of the trial and the arrest, we see Peter denying the Lord. And so here we hear the angel bringing the message to these women here at the tomb, go tell my disciples and Peter that he is not here, for he has risen, and he'll meet you over, you'll see him over in Galilee. And he declared this, and today that brings hope to every individual that has failed him, that has wronged him. Listen, you may be here this morning on this Lord's Day, on Resurrection Sunday, with a lot of regret today. You may have believed and trusted in him many years ago, but you find yourself this morning in a place where you're struggling, even maybe have failed in miserable ways in your own viewpoint. I want to tell you that the gospel is not only to all of us, it's to us individually. He will call us just as he called Peter. He calls you and I by name, and he wants you to know that he will forgive you, that he'll turn your life around. He'll make all things new. That's good news today right there. And he said, you will see me over there. You're going to get to put your eye. Listen, when he says you're going to get to see him, telling them there, that's a trustworthy statement. You're going to get to see him. You're going to get to see him. Now, when we go beyond throughout the Gospels, when we read the resurrection, we see that following these events that we read in our text today, certainly he appeared to Mary Magdalene, who thought he was the gardener. But then her eyes were open and she realized it's Jesus. She saw the resurrection Lord. He had promised that they would see him, and there he was. Peter and John had come to the tomb and saw that the place where he was laid was, the story was true. He was not there, and they ran from there to share with others. There was two men on the road to Emmaus that Jesus appeared to them, and they didn't even recognize him, but they said, our heart did burn within us as we talked with him along the road. And then when he broke bread with them, their eyes were open that it was Jesus the whole time. He was with them. The same evening, we find that Jesus appeared to the 10 disciples. 10 of the disciples he appeared to, understanding that Judas had betrayed him, was no longer alive by this time. We see that Thomas was not present at that first time when he met with them in that closed room, but yet he came to them. They saw him. The Apostle Paul said 500 people saw him at one time after the resurrection. 500 people. We note that Peter had been in that room, and Peter had he who had betrayed him, who had denied him 3 times, not betrayed but denied him 3 times. He was there, and he told him that he would see him over in Galilee, and we believe that's what John records in John 21 when he said, come and dine, when he made breakfast for him on the seashore, and he said to Simon, Simon, do you love me? Do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? And there was a moment of restoration again in the life of Peter to restore all things and to let him know that you're still one of my apostles and you're still my child. And I want you to know that you're all is forgiven and you're restored. And so he saw him. He saw him. He appeared to the 11 together with Thomas. Again, how incredible it is to see him, and they saw him with the 11. And there it says that Thomas had already said before this, he said, I won't believe it unless I touch his nail prints in his hands and where they had put that spear into his side. And there in that room, Thomas with him, and the Lord knew he had said that and said to Thomas, see here my hands, the scars in my hands, see here my side. Put your hand right here, Thomas. But then he said these words in John 20 and 28. He said, greater is he that believes and has not seen me. And that's where we stand in this hour in which we live today. That's where we stand today. And I want you to see in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8 and read this as we come to a close this morning. 1 Peter 1 and verse 8. It's there that Peter makes the declaration that we love him, yet though we have not even seen him. Though we haven't seen him, yet we love him. I want to tell you, it's one of the most beautiful things in the world when we consider that Jesus Christ has made a way. But I want to tell you, just because you didn't see him following the crucifixion. Just because you didn't see him on the cross, just because you didn't see him with your physical eyes after the resurrection. The Apostle Paul did on the road to Damascus. He witnessed him with his own eyes. And there his life was transformed. And I want to tell you, in this hour in which we live, he'll also transform your life. I want you to take this before with you and just lift it up, this card right here. And you can take a few moments, even when we close today, and when you're finished with this card, you can place it in our stations here. But you see, Jesus desires that you come into relationship with him and believe upon him, because he lives. He lives. And right down here at the bottom of this form, there's four boxes, A, B, C, D. If you're already a believer today, we just want you to just check the A box. I'm already a believer. Just check A. And again, we want as many people, if everybody would fill the portions of this form out. You know, maybe if a husband or wife is filling out the address part, you'll just say, you can just put, my wife put on filled out the rest of the other part. But we want to get one of these. I've already accepted him. But the B is that I'm believing upon Jesus today. I'm believing upon Jesus today. That's what the B is, and you check that. If today you're saying, I want to put my trust in him and become a follower of Jesus Christ today, we want you to just check that letter B. Now, if you're one of those who are just considering, you're still considering it. You hadn't made up your mind, but you're still considering Christ and the claims of Christ, and you don't know quite yet, but you are considering it, just check a C. Listen, everybody has had to consider beforehand. Jesus told people to count the cost. Jesus encouraged people to consider. So don't feel bad in any way if you check off C. But we're believing that God's going to bring you the rest of the way. But I want to understand, we'll pray for you. We're going to pray. But all of us have been there. I've been there. You were there. At some point, before anybody came to Christ, they had to consider. And then D, I know it's maybe hard for somebody. Maybe nobody would put that, but it just simply means I don't ever plan to accept Christ. You see, I'm not afraid of one of you put it checking that either. Because I'm going to pray, and I believe God that he can move and touch you in a way, and that story can change. Well, up above that, you'll say the next step to my spiritual journey, expressing my faith in Jesus. You can check that, and I want to be baptized. So if you check B, certainly you want to check that part, and I want to be baptized as well. Or maybe you've already a believer and you say, I want to be baptized. You can check that box under my next step. I want to say to you this morning that Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, he said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He said, if any of you will hear my voice and open up your heart, open up the door of your heart, he said, I will come in and sup with you, and you can sup with me. You can dine with me. You can be in relationship with me, that fellowship with me, that meal together in him, that fellowship. I got good news today. I want you just to stand with me for a moment. And it just simply said the words of a great song. It says, he lives, he lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me. He talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, he lives. Christ Jesus to impart. You ask me why I know he lives. He lives within my heart. He wants to live in your heart today. Father, in the name of Jesus, we believe, we pray, we cling to, we hold to with everything that is within us, oh God. And I pray, God, that there'll be those that will check the boxes and say, I want to believe today. I want to believe today. I pray there'll be those that will do that today. I believe today, O Lord. Move in them, their hearts today. And Lord, we pray that you would move in such a way that everybody here would just be grabbed hold of by the presence of Christ. And this Easter Sunday will be a new realization of who you are. And that, Lord, we'll grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ day by day. In Jesus' name.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Christian Heritage Church podcast. I want you to take the message you've just received and allow it to go deep into your heart. Allow Jesus to do the deep work that only He can do. And I also want to encourage you to be a part of what we're doing here at Christian Heritage by going to ChristianHeritageChurch.com. Thanks again for being here with us.